And I was imagining a worship service in 33 CE where a Markan-influenced liturgy might have sounded like this. Christ is risen, the people, and we are afraid indeed. Christ is risen, and we are terrified indeed. Perhaps not the strident, victorious phrasing that we get used to in the 21st century, but when you hear and read the ending of the Gospel of Mark, it sets up a different scenario for the followers of Jesus. It's a huff and puff gospel story, and it ends with this muffled scream. Three women in the early morning, puffy, tired eyes from weeping too much and sleeping too little, still fervently devoted to their Lord. The men disciples, missing in action, nowhere to be seen, but the women still fervently devoted to their Lord. Can I get a witness, women and girls in the house? Girl power! They have their cloths, they have their anointing oils, they're heading to that borrowed tomb where Jesus lay. Salome, the youngest one, but perhaps the most critical thinker of the group, asks, "Who will roll away the stone for us? I've heard it takes 6 or 8 men to roll these rocks away." No answer, just the swift trudging of feet on a dusty pathway. The women enter an open clearing right before the tomb and find that that very large 500-pound stone has been rolled away. Mary screams, White-robed young man sits off to the right of the vacant tomb. "Do not be alarmed." "Oh, really? You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." Other Mary cries out, White-robed young man continues, "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Again, Salome is just trying to think with all her might through what's going on here, but her brain is overwhelmed. She too cries out. It's fright, and then it's flight. They run. We read that they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Wow, what a gospel story ending. Now, if you look in your Bibles, you'll see that there are extra endings to the Gospel of Mark. There's shorter ending, option A, longer ending, option B, or just take it as it ended, option C. We are just going to stick with the story where it ended. And there's some theories that maybe other writers who were rewriting the Gospels in later centuries just could not handle that abrupt ending and just felt like they had to fill in the blanks. But there might be something about being perplexed that the author of the Markan Gospel wants us to feel. Do you ever feel perplexed? Then you should be at home with this story. If you've been a part of First Baptist Church, we spend lots of our time being perplexed over these scriptures, over these stories, over the mysteries of God that week after week surprise us, comfort us, amaze us, but sometimes they terrify us. We say and practice a posture of generosity here. Often you'll hear us using phrases like this: come when you are faithful, fearful, be made new in love. Come when you are doubtful, be made strong in faith. Come when you are regretful and be made whole. Come old and young, there is room for all. Come when you're perplexed. You're not alone. But today's Easter story doesn't leave us being perplexed completely. Instead, we hear the angel of the Lord telling us to flee, to run with the perplexed, and be propelled by a promise. Jesus is on the loose. Death could not hold him. He lives. And that is the radically frightening, but hopefully comforting news of Easter, that Jesus is going ahead of us. And I want to add one more tidbit of good news to this story this morning, that even the most destined to be picked last on the playground field is part of the movement. The angel says, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see Jesus just as he told you. Peter? Can you remember when we last saw Peter in this story of the empty tomb? Cephas was his nickname, sometimes called the Rock. We saw him a few chapters ago crumbling into a heap of dust, did we not? He's the ultimate failure, bragging about how he would always be by Jesus' side, but then denying Jesus three times, swearing at those who were asking him questions, shaking his fist and shouting, I do not know this man you are talking about. The last image we have of Peter is one who is breaking down and weeping. But on Easter morn, it's tell the disciples and Peter. Even Peter gets in on this good and great and surprising news. Even Peter. And so if you feel like you're counting yourself out of the work of God in the world this morning, I would say to you, even Peter. You didn't do worse than Peter this past week, did you? Okay, maybe you did, but even Peter, even you, even me, even us, a part of this good news story. I'm going to move a little. So this this cliffhanger of a story then gives us, I think, an opportunity to just interact for a couple of minutes here. Because that last sentence, when you read the Greek translation, and I'm not going to go all Greeky and geeky on you, but it ends with the word gar, which basically means and. And so that last phrase is, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And that end is where we get to take up the story. And that's part of the good news, too, is that we get to fill in the story with our words, our lives, our movements in the world. And that might be the most fun part of the end of the Gospel of Mark, is that we get to fill it in with our lives, our dreams, our imaginations, what God might be calling us to do as we follow Jesus for the good of the world. And so, what might we say? Or what might we be? Even as we press into the 50 days of Easter, how might we fill in that blank? What might we say as we speak of this resurrected Jesus of ours who is on the loose, going ahead of us? We will see him. What might we do? What might God be calling us to do in these days of the resurrection? So I know everyone doesn't like to speak out aloud in big crowds, but if you feel like there's something that you want to share with us of what we might say or what we might do to give us a little head start in these 50 days of Easter. I was thinking, what might we say? It might even be a phrase from a hymn. I know that my Redeemer lives.
It could be as simple as that. Or that famous hymn, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Any other phrases that pop into your head of what we might say or what we might be or do? And then I heard Jesus speaking to me. A great phrase to carry into the 50 days of Easter. A phrase or an image. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God.
Stay with me.
Stay with all of us forever. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. These are great phrases, and so I wanted to give you that opportunity this morning to pause in the midst of the drama of Easter. And maybe even these phrases will help propel our feet and our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our words into the promises of this gospel today. We often use this phrase here at First Baptist Church that we follow Jesus for the good of the world. And so might that be a phrase that encourages your heart in these 50 days of Easter. We often also, and we'll close with this, is use this prayer at communion that I think might help shape our imaginations. Lord Jesus, you have put your life into our hands, and now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew us, and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Again, that phrase, what we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on and take us with you. Might we be a people who look for Jesus in this season of Easter. 50 days to see this Jesus who goes ahead of us and promises that he will be seen in those places that we walk and talk and work in the days and weeks ahead. Lord Jesus, open the eyes of our heart, we pray. Amen. It's such an exciting day here at First Baptist that we thought we would be crazy liturgical Baptists and add a hymn that's not in your order of service. So please, stand up, stretch. We're singing number 290, The Strife Is O'er. Number 290, The Strife Is O'er.